I can say, now why is it not Sagittarius? I mean, that's what my guess is going to be. Just tell me why it's not.
Well, because the intent is not to gain freedom and find the truth. The focus is on the sacred work. Whether it's music, whether it's cutting a field, it could be. I'm sure somewhere out there there's something called the blacksmith song. You know, which is how you do that particular craft exactly right. The way that could be a Virgo song is, I'm sorry, a Sagittarius song could have had to do with hitching up the horse correctly. It is in the category. It's in the same category as Sagittarius. In service to spirit. Mm-hmm. So recognizing that is really good.
One's finding a pattern, one's finding the truth.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the pattern. Yeah, nicely
said. Oh, why are the ways we run when the last uncovered outward fly straight into the burning sun need no direction, no knowledge? I mean, it's...
That sounds Sagittarian.
Yeah.
Well, it doesn't. To me, because it's saying no, not off.
Right.
So that's not what it is.
Right. It's basically saying that's one path, but it's not this path.
Stand close by me, and I'll show you the way.
Yep.
Right, but those other words is maybe why he was feeling like this Sagittarius. Until you get to the no, not I part.
Yeah, but you just put in, but this is not a pattern to learn inside a day. It's a thing.
Yeah, so it's refining the, I mean, those words refining down to.
Mm-hmm. For those who know Virgo, and I think, what did you say, that you have Virgo moon that made you cry? Yeah.
I know.
Yeah, for other people, there's nothing about Virgo they could possibly imagine would ever cause tears. Would ever cause tears. There's some people on the wheel that these sentiments of Virgo would never cause anyone to tear.
I couldn't leave the movie Whale Rider for a half hour because I was crying so hard. So for me, it's like when I see somebody living their true sacred work,
yeah,
it just brings me to tears.
Yeah,
instantly, I could just like get it so deeply. Finds their true calling.
Oh, right? You know what's involved with this? You have to digest and you know.
And it has to do with that sense of the sacred is associated with it. It's not secular.
Say that again, I'm sorry.
It's sacred, not secular. Which is why it's in that category of in service to spirit.
I have one of my closest brothers in my life, he's a triple Virgo sun, rising, and moon. And he embodies the Virgo spirit so clearly for me. He's a very strong member of the Native American church. He's a drummer and fire tender in the Native American church. And he holds the rhythm. He holds the ceremony together. Mm-hmm. He's very focused on the details of how the ceremony works, like helps other people get into it. Sometimes comes across as harsh, but is incredibly loving and sacred in his devotion to the ceremony and the work. And really does a lot. He works incredibly hard, very powerful, strong being, but it's like all of the work is committed to making the ceremony work and to making, you know, and it's, you know, the way he speaks sometimes is can be very hard for people who aren't, like, ready for that type of speech, but it's all in devotion to the ceremony, you know.
Yeah, that's bringing up the factors, since it is in the category in service to spirit. It doesn't actually even take into account mainstream secular sensitivities.
You're working with guidance all the time. You're being guided all the time.
So there's not part of it like, gee, if I speak it this way, am I going to hurt the feelings of the people in the circle?
Uh-huh.
You know, it's this certainty to hold the space so the ceremony will work, or we could say the correct way of learning how to play something, you know, or how to cut a field, how to shoe a horse, These are all part of sacred traditions that came together. I always like to, when I think of Virgo, and now that we've done Gemini, one can see the way that Gemini and Virgo hook up. It really is part of old guild traditions, you know, ways in which people outside of mainstream culture maintain sacred traditions. It's entirely different than, say, I need to figure out which profession is going to make me money in the culture. You know, it's maintaining something that has a very long lineage that had been in service to spirit. I'll mention that more about Virgo when we get to the gods. But now, this is in the category in service to spirit. We've already done two of them. The air one, Gemini, and the fire one, Sagittarius. Now we get to the earth one. So it is about the sensation function. One of the greatest of all problems, I believe, in current astrology is placing Mercury with Virgo. Because our view of Mercury is more our Gemini view of Mercury, data and information, and information and verbiage just for the mastery of information and verbiage. So, I mean, the higher side of it, of course, is the court jester, who's a dazzler to bring us into a place of magic. But for Virgo, it's always about the connection to earth, to sensing, to something physical. And this is the problem with what's happened to Virgo today. They turn it into a left-brain analytical data and information machine, when in fact it needs to be connected to the earth or to DNA. The plants, the patterning of the stars, the way in which the waves ripple on the ocean, the sacred landscape, the patterning of the manifest creation of Gaia is what Virgo is part of. And that, of course, includes her music.
Yeah, and everyone can taste what Virgo is experiencing, which is really a type of trance state. And I've noticed it myself whenever I go out and I do what most people look down on, and that's menial work. Mm-hmm. You do work that has a pattern, but in order to achieve perfection, you have to do that pattern over and over and over again. Meditation is its own, it's so ecstatic, you get completely lost in the repetition.
Right. And that's why this expression we use for Virgo, and I've made reference to this several times, like if you have Virgo rising, you know, the question is, do you know what is your sacred work, your calling? And that is so fulfilling when you know that. It's like you wake up in the morning and you know that what you're doing is what you were born to do. And it's not opposed to making money or fame or, you know, secular success. You can have that too, but that's not the motive of it. The motive of it is that you're in harmony with the needs of spirit. I mean, all four of the in service to spirit signs have that as their motive, but this is the earth one. Now, I want to also mention that this is in a category that we have previously introduced. It's one of the givers. There is actually, if we look at the history of Virgo, there really is no training in the Virgo Mystery School, no training in it for one's own personal needs. You know, what am I getting out of this? Or what are my needs? Actually, the need of Virgo is to have sacred work, you know, then that's enough. The other issues of self-interest kinds of things don't show up there. Now, again, if we look at the history of Virgo, it's also in the category of renunciate, not householder. You know, so if we go way back in history, we find the Sag tribe and the Virgo tribe being in this renunciate category, two different versions. So Virgo, one of the expressions we use for it is quote, virgin priestess. Now, I mean that in a very specific way. Priestess, and we could say priest, mean having a calling in service to Spirit. And that's your primary commitment, more important than anything else. If you have it, then you are, wow, I'm living my life. If you don't have it, well, then that's your quest, more important than anything else. And if you go way back in history, then the virgin part of it doesn't mean no sex or pre-sex. It means wholeness. A woman who is, if we're looking at man or woman here, but usually this teaching comes to women, a woman who is one unto herself. She does not define who she is by a husband or a family. Her only family might be her temple sisters, the individuals that do that same sacred work together. So if you look at this historically, it might be the women in the temple. It could be a small group of people in the middle of the forest in an enchanted cottage, and they're actually gathering the right herbs. You know, you can find them in the middle of the forest and get your magic herb, you know. And it's kind of like you can see all kinds of images. You're wandering through the forest, and you see this cottage you didn't know was there. And, you know, you knock on the door, and this woman with eyes blazing says, "It's a pleasure to see you. Would you like a cup of tea?" And then she takes you in and shows you her wonders that she has been in communication with in the forest. And so it's not social, but boy, to be able to share what you know well in your sacred work with others is a complete joy. I'm not remembering the part you might be thinking of.
I have myself known in Virgo.
Virgo job.
I have the Virgo job.
Mm-hmm.
South Node, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
In the sixth house.
Yeah.
And whenever I go to a different place, remember that after the first day I said to the circle that I feel where I am now, I have to go out and I have to see what are the plants that are along the road, or who are the people here, or what are the fruits that are on the trees, mm-hmm. what are the rocks like, before I can understand where I am. I have to orient myself by the roots of the nature.
Yeah, and for me, I have Venus in Virgo. For me, the sacred feminine is Virgo. I always thought it was some woman. However, I finally realized it was the patterning of the sky. It was the formations of the rocks. It was the lay of the land. It was the way the earth herself communicates with us. You know, and so when I go someplace, I got to go and see what are the patterns of the stars. You know, there's another song, actually. I'll just do a very quick little take on it, which I call the Virgo song. Some women have heard this in their women's circles. The lyrics of it are, "There is a woman who weaves the night sky. See how she spins, see her fingers fly. She is within us, beginning to end. Our grandmother, sister, and friend. She is the weaver, and we are the web. She is the needle, and we are the thread. She changes everything she touches, and everything she touches changes." With the Virgo song. And it's the sacred patterning of life. And so this whole thing, so the two problems have been, is assessing Virgo as being so picky, so anal, so, you know, like you can never get it right. The Virgo cannot help themselves but by trying to get their experience in alignment with the pattern. That's what they're doing. It's not their belief about the pattern. It's their perception of the pattern. And they try to move things there, or they try to dance with it. Now, this brings up another problem, of course. The rest of the world doesn't do it that way, which is why they were renunciates. You know, so when you try to bring the whole the authenticity of that energy into secular culture, it's very hard to figure out what's going on. You know, so you have the famous story, you know, of the Virgo wife, and she goes into the bathroom, and she notices, why, dear, this is the 13th morning in a row you have not squeezed your toothpaste up to the top. And at which point the man loses it. Stop attacking me! Well, she's just, I'm just noticing, dear. You know, and so we can be extremely compassionate toward Virgo. By getting what's really going on for them, they have not received a social or cultural download about the way the rest of human beings are. But to be fair to the rest of human beings, should you have this major Virgo feature, and should you desire to not be a renunciate, and you find yourself among normal earthlings, there can actually be some value in actually incorporating into your perception the way other people are. You know, it's not to try to convince them to be like you, but at least to make allowances for the sensitivity of the way other humans are. Then we can all get along, you know.
Yeah, from my perspective of having, you know, Virgo rising and having the Virgo job and the Virgo side, but definitely not being a renunciate to have masculine Taurus as well. You know, I find, you know, when I first started working with you, my sacred work was very much a personal journey of building community and, you know, working with the earth,
yes,
and creating these sacred communities. But it's expanded much more into now helping other people find their sacred work and tying it all together, mm-hmm, you know, of like, how do we compose and weave the whole storyline, you know, what are we actually all doing? So I'm always plucking people from different lifestyles and putting them in configurations with,
yeah,
other people to create certain, you know, configurations.
Well, the Capricorn and moon is the elder, yeah, expert, and if their service is to be able to help other people find sacred work, what if that's my job? Is not too different.
Yeah.
So when we're going into the depth of the Virgo mysteries, like some of the other givers, Capricorn, Cancer, they really do want to have a function. You know, to not have a function is very difficult for that place on the wheel. It's hard for them just to do nothing or to be in spaciousness, because their desire is to have a contribution to their sacred work. And it could be anything. I mean, a musician could be doing music in a Virgo way, but not all musicians do it in a Virgo way. An actor. There are plenty of actors who certainly do not do it in a Virgo way. And yet there can be the actor who's Virgo and for whom it is a calling. It is sacred work. You know, they're not just trying to be a matinee star. You know, it's a craft. The word craft goes with it big time. Now, we also mentioned that we talked about Sag. I was bringing up the fact that there are certain places on the wheel. In fact, we've now talked about the third of the three, Sagittarius, Aquarius, and now Virgo, which are the ones that need the most amount of space. And it's not a neurosis. They do best in their own studio, in their own space, in their own workshop. Okay. So if we bring this down to the secular level, this story is of the woman who happens to be married to the man with Mars and Virgo. And I'm making the assumption here that this is a man who does have a calling. I mean, he's not just a plain old workaholic that doesn't know what else to do except work. You know, so he's in a studio, in his workshop. And the wife calls him. And his response is, "I told you not to call me here. I'm concentrating." You know, he doesn't want to be distracted by anything social. And even it's his wife. You know, and the woman needs to know. It's not because he's there with some other woman. No, he's engaged in his craft. And so being able to honor Virgo with sacred space is really, really important. And speaking of which, Virgo?
Yes.
We're speaking of Virgo now. Virgo rising. Come over here.
Yes.
Lynn, you can come over here. No, we'll have to grab
there's
the back jacket.
There's a back jacket. Okay.
Now, what we can talk about next would be the different gods and goddesses associated with Virgo. Now, in Greek mythology, there was a god that was in the Virgo category, and his name was Vulcan, or Hephaestus. Vulcan was the Roman name, Hephaestus was the Greek name. He was the blacksmith. And actually, he was the only one of the gods that actually did any work. Yeah, he was down in the basement hammering out the swords and the magical talismans, you know. The rest of the gods laughed at him, you know. The Aquarius types and the Leo gods and the Aquarius gods and the Sagittarius gods, you know, like, oh God, that Vulcan, that Hephaestus, he's different than us. He did end up marrying Aphrodite, though, which was something to keep in mind here. And then among the goddesses, we would have Vesta or Hestia, who basically is the goddess who did the ceremonies, kept the fire burning. And the weird thing, and this brings up another feature of Virgo. The weird thing is that in Greece, they had statues everywhere of the different gods and goddesses. It was sort of a way in which it was way more literal than it is now. I mean, we could be in a circle like this, and if I tell the stories of like Aphrodite or any of these gods or goddesses, some of us can make the connection internally. Oh, I know what that means. I energetically can sense into what that is. In Greece, they had the statues there, and everybody knew what they represented. It was like an externalization of those archetypal energies. We didn't have to have a philosophical conversation. It was like a living reality through the image. But there was no statue of Hestia. She didn't have a statue. However, any time they gave prayers to the gods and goddesses, the first prayers went to her. Because the people knew that if she didn't do her job right, everything would fall apart. It's like that mythic imagery of women doing a winter solstice ceremony, knowing full well if they don't do it properly, as far as we know, the sun may not return. Value of ceremony. Honoring the sacred. I don't know whether I need at the moment to give you lots of examples of what happens with Venus and Mars and Virgo. And you know, I think you already have a sense at this point of what Virgo rising would be about. Remember the central question, do you know your sacred work? I will mention one last thing about it, and this is the stage 3, or the most developed version of the male Virgo archetype. So the average Virgo is not interested much in relationship at all. You know, their work's far more interesting. You know, and they're also, as I mentioned before, it had been a renunciate lineage, you know, so regular secular and social affairs are very little interest. But should the guy with a lot of Virgo want to make a relationship work, there's a stage 3 development. Imagine the capacity of a man or woman to get so into their work that their discrimination with it is overwhelming. You know, that same kind of joy and pleasure of getting lost in one's work, and it's a turn-on in a sensory sense to what it is you do. It's playing music, you know, whether it's doing the gardening, and in my case, looking at the patterning of the charts, you know, which is a sensory delight, actually, to actually see how that operates. What if that guy saw the complexity and the inscrutability, the unknowability completely of the feminine to be so remarkably interesting that it's every bit as interesting, if not more interesting, than their other work they do? So when they're with the woman they love or the women that they love, they're holding the space to be unbelievably attentive and looking at, oh my God, I've never seen this pattern before. It's impossible to really fully know it, but I can get close to that and really, wow, do I appreciate it. This is actually more interesting than going back to work today. You know, to actually be that perception of that pattern. Because, you know, there's a lot of men out there that realize at a certain level, at a certain level of the game, I'll never be able to figure out a woman. Not possible. At which point, many men of that type give up. They're not going to be concerned about that issue anymore. So they just go do what they do. But this Virgo expression, stage 3, the higher development of it, wow. The inscrutability of this woman I love, the complexity of her, the impossibility to really totally get her or figure out. That's the whole life of checking out this pattern, you know. And that can either be in a personal relationship or also the other version of Virgo, which is from sometimes for the stage 3 male, is a man who is not looking for a girlfriend or a partner, but he's a priest to the sacred feminine, which in the Tantra world would be considered to be a daka. You know, the person who assists women in, by getting their pattern, not trying to change it, just by, wow, that's it. You know. Good.
Assist women in what?
Getting their pattern. In being seen, being mirrored properly.
Not achieving the maximum experience. That's
well, it can include that for Virgo. Actually, it's more like Pisces. But what we're going to get to?
Okay.
All right. Any question?
Non-gender?
Huh?
Couldn't that be non-gender as well?
Of course.
I mean, a woman who's got Virgo can finally get to that PhD for a man as well.
Totally.
Okay.
All right. It's just that these days, and maybe I need to say this. Since I brought to your attention that in the past there were these two tribes, Sag and Virgo, that were renunciate. At a certain time in history, there were many more authentic ways of being renunciate. What happened, as I mentioned, with the Catholic Church, you know, they eliminated all of this, and they even eliminated the courtesan. So then there's only two possibilities left. You either make it as mother wife or you have the convent. There used to be many, many other forms of authentic ways of being male or female. So today, it seems that even the renunciates are trying to learn more about themselves through relationship. There's hardly any renunciates left. I might only see one chart out of 150 where I just have to look at it and say, yeah, this is a renunciate life. So we have Virgo, having to figure out how to do, what's the right way to do a personal relationship. You know, for some it's in a bond, for others it's not, depending on the rest of the chart.
Mm-hmm. So does focusedness have something to do with that?
It does. It does.
So what's an attribute? It's a Virgo attribute.
To be able to discriminate and to go deeply into something. It doesn't hover on the surface. It gets into the actual depth of the kinesthetics. It's like it uses the mind, but the mind is through earth. So this may be a final comment I'll make about Virgo here, is that to distinguish it from the air signs, like Aquarius and Gemini, which are masculine air, masculine left brain, Virgo is feminine left brain. The left, we call it the left brain of the goddess. That's totally different than just data and information.
Great.